mean, when you try anything with a new way of doing tuition, it brings in lots of discussion, which personally I feel is a very positive thing. I don't see anything negative about it, other than we may all be way, which I apologize for. We're going to get started. We need one more regent to vote, but we can move along with some of these agenda items, especially number one with our revision of policy R805. We actually discussed this in our committee meeting earlier, and so the committee members have had a chance to weigh in on this, and we actually made some recommendations for changes. So I'll just turn this over to the Honorable Jeff.
You got promoted, but I'm not. Okay, so yeah, this has been before the committee, and we've had a few revisions. Let me just basically tell you quickly what this does. So this is an existing policy that we're making some revisions to, the purpose of which is to ensure that the board will have access to significant data that gives you an idea of the representation of gender, race, and ethnicity within the system in our institution. The revisions are a couple of things, the first of which is to ensure that when we gather this data, that it's done under the auspices of our auditor's office. What that does is it protects the data from being made public until we're comfortable with enough of the data, enough of the context of the data, and that it's been analyzed by the right professionals to ensure that the conclusions that we make, that we use for policy making, are accurate, are well informed by the context which they come from, and that not only will the audit committee or the board, but also the council president will have an opportunity to weigh in on those decisions about the data before those things are actually put into a report and then sent to the reader for policy making. So those are major changes, but what this does is it still ensures that you get the data not only about the representation within the systems and where they're working, but also their salaries, which was a specific request from the board. So I know it's a quick presentation, but I'm happy to answer questions.
We've discussed this a lot. Yeah. I'm not worried about this not having enough discussion. Is there any committee members who have any more suggestions or comments on this? We've talked about this a lot. And if not, I would want to accept a motion to approve. What? Do you have one more?
Why am I not surprised?
14 months.
Now, one, I'm just thrilled to death. I'm so pleased because I think this addresses so many issues we're seeing across the state. So kudos for the great work and the thorough work on this. I guess in the end, as we've done this, I just want to be assured that the phases are there to expand some of the things we want to look at, and that we've done enough on 805.
Yeah,
the
way this is written, really, what it gives is the board the opportunity first to go get the data and then to have professionals look at it and then come to you and say, this is what we're finding, and based on our findings, we need to explore the following areas more. And then it gives you the discretion to start deciding where you're going to do those investigations and how much you need to know and what you need to know because of that. So it doesn't limit you. Other than it will obviously stay within the subject matter of the policy itself. But really, you still have a broad discretion about where you're going to go with this. And then in terms of policy making, it's completely open as long as the data has been verified and it's ready to move forward.
Yeah,
because
I think if you look at 3.3 where it says the findings become available.
Yeah, and I have that circled as well. I'm a little nervous about, because when we talk about become available, this policy was implemented in 1996.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, that analysis and data collection should have been available and wasn't, and I know that's why we're referencing that. But that kind of leads me to the issue at the beginning. I'm not really comfortable when it says the regions have a long history of actions designed. I lost my place. This long history to encourage representation, participation in the health system, that it doesn't feel completely accurate, given this is out there.
So where is the policy?
Of the issue at hand, the way we phrase
that. Oh, that's just in the wording before.
I understand, but I think if we're really working to be transparent and honest and reflect at our shortcomings, that it's important we identify and not sugarcoat it that we've been doing all this, because I don't believe we have. So I just wanted that to be noted in the tone on the issue. I would like that to reflect more accurately.
If you you want to make a motion for us to modify the memo, we have to do that, and that way it's fixed in the record.
Okay, and then I have one other thing on benefits. Is that something as we face is, it's come to my attention that some of the institutions, we have very different benefit packages for staff and employees as we do maybe for faculty, and that be something that at some point we potentially audit or put data on, I think that would also be helpful.
Yeah, and when we use the terminology compensation, that's typically going to mean that includes salary and benefits. So if there are discrepancies in how benefits are awarded, that will come out again.
Thank you, and I'm very supportive and appreciative of that, so I will make a motion.
Well, just hurry and say, you want to say the Regent's responsibility is to focus attention and to encourage representation. Would you rather have us say that?
Like it.
You got that, Jeff?
Yep.
Okay, so you want to make that motion?
I will make that motion.
Okay.
To approve R805.
Okay, thanks. Second by Jacob. All in favor of that motion with that one change, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks so much. All right, just for your information, we're going to go 1, 2, and then 4 is going to become 3, and 3 is going to become 4, just so that you know. So our second one is a very exciting one. Weber State University has come before us to get a Doctor of Nursing Practice with the Family Nurse Practitioner Leadership Emphasis. Just so those of you who understand, the Regents don't generally approve programs anymore, but because this program is out of the mission of Weber State because they don't provide doctorates, then that comes to us for approval, just so you know that. So I'll turn, Blair, do you want to?
I'll just kick this off and we'll turn some time over if that's okay.
We have just a little bit of time, very little.
So,
because we have discussed this, just so everyone knows, we have discussed this on our committee meeting.
So for several years, Weber State has offered an MS degree that has prepared students to become nurse practitioners. The nursing profession is moving by the year 2025 with the goal to have all nurse practitioners prepared at the doctoral level. And so in order to continue viability of their existing program, they're really compelled to move that MSN and expand it so that there's the DPN, DNP option, doctor of nurse practitioner. And there's two proposals here, but it's one degree. There's a proposal for an emphasis in family nurse practitioner and an emphasis in leadership. And so with that, I'll turn some time over to President Mortensen. Yeah. Would you like to
I'll just say a word really quick and then have a comment from our chair of the Annie Taylor D. School of Nursing, Dr. Susan Thornock. But this is exciting for Weber State. We're excited to bring it forward to you as it'd be the first doctorate degree at our institution. It's a clinical doctorate, but we feel like it really fits with our mission of providing for the workforce needs, and we have an amazing nursing program. You should come see it sometime if you haven't had the chance to. We have amazing graduates from our nursing program, even in the room. But the things that they're doing to train hundreds of nurses all across, it's the model in the state for stackable credentials, working with the technical colleges and other things. Now through the clinical doctorate level, if this gets approved. So, Dr. Thornock, do you want to add anything
more? I don't, Brad. You said it very nicely. I just want to say thank you for entertaining this, and we're looking forward to creating this education for our community and for Weber State University, and adding to the excellence of our program. So, thank you for sharing. If you have any questions,
any questions, we're happy to respond.
Any questions? I'm very supportive of this. If I wasn't sure, I would make a motion, but I should let someone else make that motion. So, would somebody like to make a motion to approve?
I like that motion.
Any motion? Any second?
Second.
Mr. Jensen, thanks so much. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One more vote.
Thank you.
Meeting.
Yeah, thank you.
You'll come with a strong recommendation from the committee. So, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is exciting. All right, let's jump down to something that we have to do today, and we really want to do some other stuff today, but number 3 is we need to award the amounts for our New Century Music Scholarships that we do every year, and so I'll turn the time over to Julie.
Yes, so we are approving the amounts of the Regents of New Century Scholarships for the cohort for this year. Those amounts can vary for the year to year, and I'm going to pass over to Carrie Beckman to talk about the amounts.
So per standard procedure, every year you can have the award and approve no award amounts. This year we have a unique situation where we have the 2018 cohort and prior are on one set of rules, and then the 2019 are on a different set of rules. So that's why you see two sets of amounts, if you will. So for the New Century Scholarship Program, we are asking to have approval of the full award amount of $1,250 per semester, and students can do that for a total of four semesters. So it's a grand total of $5,000 award if they were to continue paying their full amount. And then for the 2018 cohort for Regents Scholarship and prior students, then we again are asking for the full award amount of the base award at $1,000. That's a lifetime award that students earn, the exemplary award at $1,250 per semester, and that again is renewable for up to four semesters. And then the My529 program just has a cap of $400, and that is subject to individual savings. And so a student may earn zero, or a student may earn up to $400.
And that's what we voted for last year, right? That's what you're saying?
And that we need to approve that again this year because we still have students that are
still
on the schools.
Okay.
And then the students for this year, the 2019 cohort, we have a different award structure. And so we have the Merit Academic, or excuse me, the Scholarship Award, which is a one-time award for, we're recommending $2,000 as a one-time award. The My529 question, we're recommending $300. And that is because they now stay for 3 years rather than 4 years. So that falls in line with policy as it has been written. And then the supplemental award that addresses a student's need if they have a gap in covering some basic college costs, we are recommending that we will do a block grant to the institutions. We are defining need this year by allowing institutions to look at those students who have met the academic criteria of the scholarship, and then looking to see for those who have an expected family contribution based on their FAFSA data of 0 to 10,000, then they would evaluate what other state aid they have, what other federal aid they have, and are there some gaps in covering the basic costs as outlined in Part 609B, and then they would be able to award and fill some of the gaps for those students who have them.
Wow, your job and knowing all of that, if I don't know about the other people in the room, but to me it sounds like we have an extremely complicated process. I'm so sorry for that.
It will get better next year with a third group.
Yes, I was going to say, that was my next comment, is that not in this meeting, but I do recommend, obviously, we need to approve for these students that we promised, which is incredibly important. But I would think that between now and maybe even our May meeting, whether that's a meeting between now and then or in May, I think we need, given that HB 260 passed, we've got a new scholarship we're doing, and I think now is a great time to look, because if we don't do it this year, we're going to be doing it next year or the year after. And I think that it's incredibly important to take a deep dive look of what our purpose is with both the region, the New Century, and now our Access Promise Scholarship. So I am asking that we put a hefty time to have a structured conversation.
So we don't have a whole lot of time to do that because we have to start messaging to students. But for the May meeting, we are hoping to have a new policy for each group.
Is there how much has the input going to be between now and May?
We can give you lots of input between now and then. When is
our in between meeting? We have another meeting in between the board meetings.
Can we have some conversation time so that way the policy is ready for us?
Because I just know, eventually, was with a parent in a car quite a while today, and she said, can you tell me about the Regents Scholarship? I said, maybe you can. But she said, my daughter was told that that there's no reason to even apply anymore because it's just totally on need. And so we have some real issues to deal with right now. And so, she said to me, her daughter said, I don't even want to, she had one plus class. I mean, she's a junior, so one more class she needed. And she said, she doesn't even want to do it because she said it's on need and we're not going to call it. So what is its purpose? Well, we're at a point now where we really need to make it clear so we don't get misinformation out or whatever we do. So I do really, appreciate it. I didn't really think we had this conversation, so.
Our whole, the reason for the May meeting passing those policy changes is so that we can try to message, even though it's the very end of the school year, to begin our messaging in June. We have a lot of opportunities to educate the public, the counselors over the summer. We have several different opportunity times to be able to do appropriate outreach and inform, because there is a lot of misinformation out there in the sense that if you read one news story that you didn't catch the follow-up, then you may not know exactly where these stories stand.
Well, the council
And I think that now's a great time because we have a new baseball.